Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you get to 25, it can kind of feel like I can't experiment because the window for failure is narrower.
Small.
One thing that people don't really talk about enough is the fact that there's a level of confidence and clarity and level-headedness that can accompany getting older. Mm.
When you get to a place where you have evolved and the people around you have evolved, there now needs to be a questioning as to whether you are still compatible.
Mm. And hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we're all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about that quarter life crisis. We just turned 25 this year, and one thing that has been going around is second puberty. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to explore what that meant for us, right? What that can look like. And we know some of the girls are struggling, hitting that mid-20s mark. Things are changing in your body, mm-hmm. in your mindset, in your life. Let's talk about it. Let's find a safe space here to admit I'm 25 and having a quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what today's episode is all about. But before we get into it, we have a few announcements. We have some things to say. First of all, what is the first one I was going to say? I was going to say we finished our book draft, but that is completely irrelevant to right now.
I'm screaming.
But first of all, we finished our first book draft. Woo-hoo! Our editor called it a masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
But she also made 20,000 corrections.
Mate, do you know the amount of correct? I was seeing the edits at the top. I was like,
we have to change it.
Anglais, y'all speak Anglais.
Do we? Anyways, shout out to you, Mireille.
She's actually the greatest, like, honestly.
The best. And she's a listener of the podcast, like, before we got the big deal. She's the best. But yeah, shout out to you, Mireille. We love you. We appreciate
honestly.
Second announcement, Vision Challenge. We have a winner for July. 6 months. Six winners.
Honestly, it's crazy.
Six people have won £100.
600 GBP, baby.
Mad.
Putting the money where our mouth
is. Come on.
Awesome. So a big congratulations to Miss Zainab. That is Miss Zainab _ Gohi on Instagram.
Shout out to you, Sam.
And in terms of the three random acts of kindness that she did this month.
Inspire us.
The first was she organized a surprise birthday dinner for her best friend.
Oh, nice.
Number two was she gave money to her stepdad for his trip to Nigeria.
Oh, come on.
And the last was she sent her boyfriend money to help him furnish his new apartment.
Wow. Come on, somebody. Not saying up, say who got the cash.
You know what I'm saying? Not us replenishing the pockets.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, sis, we hope that you enjoy your £100 prize. Thank you so much for putting some sprinkles of kindness and good into the world. We appreciate you. And to all the sisters who participated in the challenge,
sure.
You are the best. But it's a new day. It's a new dawn.
That's right.
And we're feeling good. So.
What?
Do you not know that song?
I do. That's what I was just like. You've started.
Yeah, I actually have. I'm so delirious. I came home at 5:30 in the morning.
Barely breathing.
Barely alive. So today we're announcing that July's challenge is, drumroll please. Start your therapy journey, okay? We want no, for real, because we're all going through
so much.
You guys know we're a big advocate for therapy, and just going on a journey where you really do invest in your wellness by going to a professional and allowing yourself to walk through whether it be past trauma or current anxieties that you have, or even if you don't feel bad, just getting somebody who you can check in with to make sure that you stay that way, you know? So you guys know we have partnered with BetterHelp over here on our channel to provide accessible and online therapy to people and all the sisters all over the world. And so that description description is always in, that link is always in our description, but we really want this month's challenge to be for someone to start their therapy journey. We know it can be daunting, it can seem intimidating, and it can feel like quite a hefty financial commitment, but thankfully BetterHelp is more on the affordable side compared to in-person therapy because it is conducted online, as well as the fact that that link in the description gives you 10% off, okay? But we also wanted to give a further incentive by replenishing the money that one of you spends on starting your therapy journey, just to really support you and encourage you to go. We wish we could do it for everybody, and maybe one day we will. But for now, this is just our little bit to kind of ginger you guys to take yourself to therapy. It is so beneficial. It is so necessary. And we know that will be a great addition to your glowing and growing journey. So please, if you can and you have the resources to this month, invest in going to therapy. Once you have signed up, feel free to DM us or tag us on Instagram or Twitter just to let us know, hey, I did it. I'm on the road.
I'm starting my therapy journey.
There you go. And so, yeah, once you've done that, at the end of the month, we're going to pick a winner and we'll send you the money straight to you.
Okay? GBP,
GBP, baby. GBP,
baby.
All right. And hopefully we'll actually cover the month that you spent on therapy.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is crazy to think that you can get therapy for about £100 a month.
Honestly, affordable.
Affordable. Accessible. Affordable.
And it's such a great time to invest in therapy because we're literally at the halfway mark of the year.
Yeah.
You want to set up the rest of your 6 months to be one of, you know,
success, joy, comfort, therapy.
You got to unpack that. Yeah.
And thank you to BetterHelp as well for just providing that for the sisters. Supporting. Okay. So into the ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
This one is interesting.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Quite simple.
Oh no. Uh-oh.
Actually, is it simple? Not really. Okay. Oh, anyway, no. We'll get into it.
Let's get into it.
Hey sisters, hey. I hope you're both doing great this week. I admire your insight on issues greatly and hope you can offer it here. I'm 24 and I have a boyfriend. Aww. We have been together for just over 3 years. Aww. He treats me with so much kindness, that's sweetness, so cute, and consideration. He is, however, the antithesis of anything and everything I am typically physically attracted to.
Oh, no.
When we first got together, I was not physically attracted, but I did like him and something drew me to him regardless. So I agreed to date him.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, it has been weighing on my mind that I don't feel physically attracted to him. I feel ashamed, guilty, fraudulent, and like a cheat.
Oh no.
I know looks aren't everything, and beyond them, he is truly a perfect life partner. Mm. But I wish I could have that, damn, is that my man? Feeling when I look at pictures of him and us. I don't know whether to hang on. No, Renee, your face is gonna be. I don't know whether to hang on or let him go. Please help. Please help.
I'm the wrong person to ask because, look, I'm a big advocate of eye candy and I don't mess with nobody I ain't think is fine. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think kudos to you for, you know, giving him a chance. I think it's always important to explore and, you know, really dig down into, is it just looks that I'm interested in, and, you know, understanding that people have a lot more to offer than their looks. So, you know, kudos to you. I'm glad that you've had a positive experience so far and you guys seem to have built a real relationship. Mm. And there does seem to be a part of you that actually likes him, right? Romantically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even necessarily just like you're not repulsed by him. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a relationship with him whatsoever. Exactly. So there is an element of you that is attracted to him and at least can tolerate being, this sounds so terrible, but we're going to have to talk about it in these terms. There is a part of you that can tolerate him physically because you've been in a relationship with him for 3 years and you've been very happy.
Mm.
It seems that you've been very, very happy. You haven't said anything negative about him apart from the fact that you're not physically attracted to him. This is where it gets a bit sticky because really it is about you and how much investment you put in physical attraction. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to want to be physically attracted to your boyfriend. And I think you need to like make a distinction between, are you physically attracted to him or do you want him to be attractive, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Okay,
so there's the conventionally attractive or people find him attractive, that kind of thing, versus do you actually think that you can lay with this man? Do you know what I mean?
Ooh,
so no, but there is that. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And I think it's something that's discussed and given more grace in male communities, 100%. Where it's like, yo, I ain't getting with a chick unless she's a baddie, or I'm physically attracted to her.
Yeah.
Whereas for women, we tend to be a little bit more allowing in the looks department, because there's other elements of, like, you know, men that we might value more, or it's just not something that women think of as important as these other factors. Mm-hmm. So really, I can't tell you to like break up with him. Mm-hmm. And I also can't tell you to stay with him, because it's actually down to you and you're waiting towards that physical attraction. I will say, don't feel guilty for not feeling physically attracted to him. I think sometimes we can think, oh, okay, like, I'm just going to go along with this because everything is good. I'm happy, he's happy, but you're still harboring that feeling of discontentment inside and you're feeling guilty about it. There's no need to feel guilty about it. It's natural. You are attracted to who you're attracted to. I think you also need to inspect why you're not physically attracted to him.
Yeah,
is it something that is like just genuinely, objectively, you don't find him attractive? Or is it because you have certain specifications as to what you have decided to find physically attractive that he can never fit, right? So even in terms of like you giving him a chance, again, it signifies he's not clapped enough for you to have not been with him, right? So there is a part of him that you're actually attracted to.
The international sisters, to be clapped is to be unattractive. Just a Urban Dictionary for you.
In the UK, clapped. I don't want to say the other ones because they sound so harsh. Butters. Yeah, I don't know who came up with that. Butting is rude. Zombie. he's not unattractive enough for you to have like left him a long time ago. So I personally think there has to be something there.
100%.
Having said that, you do also need to consider the longevity of your relationship, right? Is this somebody that you want to settle down with? Is this somebody that you're considering like having children with? Is this somebody that in the long term you would be committed to lying with this man? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be in a relationship with someone and like, oh, you know, that we're going through the motions, things are positive, but in terms of like, it sounds like you want to build a life with this person. Not that everything is going to be perfect, but if it is that this is a real deficit, you actually genuinely need to consider if this is a long-term relationship to be had. And it sounds terrible and it sounds really like, oh, shallow in a way, but physical attraction is really important when it comes to maintaining relationships. I don't care what anybody has to say, like, not even just the girl needs to be physically attractive, you need to be attracted to that 100%. Man, it's necessary
for the relationship to thrive. How can you be romantic with someone you don't find attractive? It doesn't make sense,
because you're gonna have to look, let's speak frankly, you're going to have to kiss this man. You're going to have sex with them repeatedly. They're going to, you know, mix genetics with you when it comes to having kids. Let's be frank. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
And if you're not, it has far more ramifications than the immediate, oh, I don't think he's that cute.
Yeah.
This is a life partner. Yo, I'm not saying be shallow, but physical attraction is important.
Yeah, I think you've got the depth there. And I think that's what makes this dilemma hard.
Yeah.
Because he's a good guy, right?
Precisely.
By what you're saying. And if you feel good with him, I think, like you said, my mind would go to, am I unattracted to things in you that could change? Because if they can change, we need to change them ASAP. If it's like, I don't like the way you dress, I don't like the way you smell, I don't, whatever it is. But those things are fixable.
How are you going to be with somebody for 3 years, you ain't like how they smell?
Did you say 3 years?
Yeah.
Since you've been with this man for 3 years, first of all, my comprehension skills are whack. Yeah. You've been with this man already for 3 years. Nah, you love this man.
You actually do.
You love this man. You have to customize him at this point.
Not build a bear.
I know it's not build a bear, but in this sense, but
if you can
like,
tolerate him for three
if
years.
You can tolerate somebody for 3 years, there's enough there to work with because you've been working with it, right?
Exactly.
I think it gets to this point of, okay, unless you've been in the relationship because you felt like it would be bad for me to leave, not just because he's unattractive, but like it would be bad towards him and it would just kind of make me feel sad if I lost him. Why would you leave now, kind of thing? Now, I would understand, okay, if the attraction could never come, you gotta dip. Yep, you've put 3 years. It was a grievous error.
Grievous.
You know, we move on. We move on, we evolve, right? However, if you feel like, no, there are stuff that, like I was saying, could be changed about him to make him more attractive to me, I would say go on that journey of changing it. I would, especially because you've got to think more than just his qualities as a person.
Right.
You now have 3 years of memories and 3 years of experience with each other, and 3 years where you've developed such intimacy to the point where you are past the shallow now. Whilst the superficial matters,
yep.
You are now in the deep.
You are.
I would think, right? You're now in the deep. But at the same time, you're only 24. So it's not too late to jump ship. But it's never too late to jump ship, but in the sense that, like, you could find another relationship like that if you wanted to. That's conditioned on so many different things. But like, in the sense that you're young, right? Okay, you've been in a relationship for 3 years. It's not like it's taken half of your life up. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, I'm kind of leaning more towards the side of, if you could change some things, you got to change some things. You got to change some things. And if after changing the things, it's still like, no, I don't want you, baby girl, you've got to leave. Don't put that man through that. Don't honestly put yourself through that. Because physical attraction really does matter.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would say you shouldn't have given it a chance in the first place, but we cannot go back to the past. So all we can do is move forward, moving forward.
Customizations. And I think there's things you can change.
Oh, babe, I don't like the way you dress. And the thing is, you're 3 years deep, right? This is when you can have good, honest conversation, right? Not rude, not degrading, because I'm going to stick beside him. You're there. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. At the end of the day, you can just be like, babes, we're going shopping, change the wardrobe.
Let's go.
I bought you this perfume. You're only wearing this from now. Okay.
Take off the bowler hat.
Do you get what I mean? Go and get this kind of trim.
Waistcoat. Do you remember back in the day when they used to wear, you know, the denim jeans?
Yeah.
And then the waistcoat over the shirt.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anyone who personally dressed like that.
Me neither.
But I've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
Horrible era.
Yeah.
A horrible era. So, yeah, like, there are things that you can change if he's also willing to change them, of course. You can't force it onto anybody. But I think it's worth having the conversation if it is, you know, kind of aesthetic things that are displeasing you. If it, like Renee mentioned, is fundamental things that he cannot change, like his height, his race, his actual face composition, I think you've got to leave. You've got to make an exit. No, but like, or like his size, or like, no, but certain things, like, you got with somebody, but like, maybe you have the hopes that they will change, but then it's like there are some things that cannot change. Do you get what I mean? Or that they don't want to change. So, for example, like, I got with this guy or this girl, they're kind of, you know, a bit bigger than the sort of people that I would usually go to, but they can lose weight. But what if they don't want to lose weight? Do you know what I mean? This is just who they are, right? And I think at some point, as awkward as it may be, I think it's freeing for both of the parties for them to just leave each other. Because if you're not satisfied with me, and I also am not satisfied with the fact that you're not satisfied with me, and I'm not going to change for that, why are we trying to make fetch happen? It's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And I think the more we deceive ourselves on that, the longer we stay in things that we have no business being in. And so just be honest with yourself at this point. Are there things that I can change? If yes, great, let's change them. If no, bounce. Because you're always going to have this lingering sore, and it will creep up.
It will come up.
Imagine having having an argument with a man you think is ugly.
How you raised to take the bass out of your voice with your face looking at me like this?
What? You look like the bottom of a shoe.
Stop it.
And you're trying to get rid of me? That's the thing, like, we've said this before, people can be petty.
This is it.
People can be very petty, and don't be shocked when pettiness rises up.
Say something so rude
from the inside of you.
He'll just be like, oh babe, I didn't like your chicken. Well, I don't like your face.
How about that? Your breath smells, your teeth are ugly.
You know, teeth.
But thank God for dentistry.
Yeah, teeth.
Thank God for dentistry.
Teeth? Jeez. Anyways.
Well, another dilemma in the archives.
Damn.
Sis, give us an update though. We're all invested now.
For sure.
We want to know how this
ends. And also, sisters, we'd love to hear like your thoughts on this dilemma as well. Have any of you had this experience before? Like, anyone that has dated? Because for me personally, I don't date men that
you're not attracted to. I've done it before.
Really?
That I wasn't attracted to initially.
Fine.
But they grew on me.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually really did grow on me.
But was it like, they weren't ugly. You didn't find them ugly.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't find them ugly. No. I don't think anyone could do that. Because I think that's like your physical attraction to somebody is what gives them access into the door to be able to show themselves, right? So yeah, I wasn't like repulsed.
Not repulsed. There has to be some. Have you seen that trend on, or it's such a terrible trend, on the Twitter where folks be sending pictures of a guy that, let's say, is just not particularly handsome to their mum or their father and saying that this is my boyfriend?
No.
And the response is,
oh no.
One person sent it to their mum and they scream face. And then another one was like, Vicky, how many times did I call you?
You know what? It's actually mad out here because, like, it is sad that we sometimes struggle to get past the exterior and we can't see a person with a good heart. Mm. And I think, above all, we should really cherish character. Like, sis, I'm not going to lie to you. If somebody is good to you and they make you happy, try and change as much as you can about the exterior. But at the same time, I know attraction is important, but I don't understand personally how you can go 3 years into a relationship. You're telling me you haven't like kissed this guy or like you just haven't had an inkling of butterflies or a hug. Like, I'm sure there are things that you have overcome already. There are bases that you've already covered, right?
How are you going to look this man in the face when you wake up in the morning?
But my thing is, how have you been doing it already?
You must have.
That's what I'm trying to get to. There has to be something that has been keeping you far past his character. More for my sisters
too, though, because Mandem would never do that. Beyond like, it sounds terrible, but beyond like, you know, a drunken fling, Mandem are very particular about like the girls that they go for.
You know what? I hear it, right? However, I also think there is a class of guys out there who, whilst their standards may be high, are happy to kind of compromise on some of their physical traits for somebody whose character is good.
Fair.
Do you get what I mean? Like, okay, you may not be everything. I think about like when guys mature and they're kind of looking for that wife and they're like, I want her to be all of these things internally. I can compromise on the external a little bit, but I don't think they compromise as much as women
do. They don't, no.
Do you get what I mean?
And they also, in terms of like at least facial composition,
yeah,
irrespective of character, they go like, it's usually like, oh, okay, maybe her bum is not as big as I'd like.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't got as much breast as I want, but she's got a nice face.
Yeah. Fair enough. Jesus Christ.
Girls. Ladies. Yeah. Ladies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave it there.
Yeah. Also, one thing you've got to understand is personality does a lot for a person.
It really does.
Like, I think sometimes somebody can start off as ugly, but then over time you're kind of like, no, this person's lit. Like, this person. And it completely changes the way that you see them. Mm-hmm. But hey, in a superficial world, these are the things that we contend with. It's sad. It's sad. And it, like, there are so many intersections of this because you've got to talk about like preferences, right? And preferences themselves are not necessarily like unaffected by environment.
And some of them problematic. They're
very problematic. And so whilst you can investigate that within yourself, I think there is a more, you know, broader, well understood argument of, are you actually attracted to this person at the end of the day? Sis, I hope that that gives you enough to contend with. If it's made you more confused, we're sorry.
If it's made you more confused, we're going to share some of the sisters' feedback. So just sisters, please, we'll probably put it either in the comments or we'll post on Instagram the dilemma. We want to hear your thoughts because this is a conundrum.
Proper. But quarter life crisis. Let's get into it. I mean, another form of crisis, actually. There we go.
That is another form of crisis. Everything is a crisis. The cost of living crisis, the quarter life crisis, everything crises.
So, Miss Renee, as a recent 25-year-old, have you experienced a quarter-life crisis or second puberty?
That's a great question. I wouldn't say I've had an overall crisis. I would say there's definitely been more like existential moments where I'm just actually freaking out about the fact that I'm an adult. And I think just the different things that we have to contend with, or like I have had to contend with mentally, emotionally, and actually materially, has been sometimes quite overwhelming. I have had like my moments of crisis and it can be quite scary. I've definitely had a second puberty, but I feel like because of some of the behaviors and things that I've been doing over the course of like my early to mid 20s, it hasn't really hit. And I think it's more so, I would say more so like points of crisis as opposed to second puberty for me. So for points of crisis, there will be moments where I actually just wake up and I'm like, damn, this is my life. Like I have to pay bills. And like thinking about other things in my life as well, where, you know, you've got some friends who are like completely lost and have no idea what they're doing with their lives. And then you've got some friends who are married with like two kids. And then you've got some friends who are doing X, Y, Z. And it's just like, it can be quite difficult sometimes to not compare or to not consider like, am I doing too much? Or like, should I be further along in my life? Or like, should I be doing this? Or should I be doing that? Like, how do I contend with this? And then also thinking about the future as well. So like, how the heck am I going to, you know, get a house or a car in the current economic climate? Is the world going to be here in 10 years because of climate change? And just all of these little like things that snowball into existential crisis or crisis moments. And I think it's definitely been mediated by the fact that I have such fantastic support systems. So it's like when I do feel like that, I can come to you and be like, oh, yo, Courtney, I feel as though I am extremely overwhelmed. What the heck do I do? And just having, you know, the different support systems as well, but definitely have those moments. And then in regards to second puberty, I will say, at least physically, things change a lot. Things change a lot. The lactose intolerance that I've been ignoring since I was a kid, that flared up quite a bit. As soon as I turned 25, the body just said no. And the things that we used to do when we were younger, my body has said, I don't think so. So you young kids that are going out at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., leaving your house at 10, 11 p.m., that's the time I'm coming back in because I know how it's going to affect me tomorrow. And just like my tolerance levels for different things has just changed dramatically. And thinking about like mentally and emotionally as well, that level of maturity that has come, definitely I would say is part of second puberty. I think that one thing that people don't really talk about enough is the fact that there's a level of confidence and clarity and level-headedness that can accompany getting older. So whilst I'm still contending with all of these like crisis moments and bodily changes and the reality of like, you know, just crisis all around me, I have never felt more confident in my capacity and confident in some of the decisions that I'm making and as decisive and clear about what I want. It's still kind of hazy and I'm still growing. But what I found with each year that comes, yes, things are changing. Yes, there's like so many different things occurring at the same time. I feel overall is a plus because I feel more confident in myself. And I accept myself a lot more. So whilst there's all of these like crazy things going on in my body and like my life, I love the way that my perspective and the way that I feel about myself has changed overall in response to it.
That's actually so beautiful. I think that's a lot of what people kind of contend with. Like I think the majority of people are not going through crisis per se. I think they are having those existential kind of moments of questioning. Who am I? What am I meant to be doing? Am I, like you said, am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? And what is the point of my life, really? I think for a while when you are, you know, in the lead up, being a teenager, going to university, if you do, or like just being in the education system, you get used to the natural progression of things and things are kind of set for you. So you do this, you do that, you do this. These are the next steps. And then you kind of get to a point where you're like, ah, so now I need to decide what's next for me on my own, right? And it really does require a lot of confidence, in your capability to be able to make decisions. And I think when you get to 25, that's when you start questioning your decision making, whether you have made the right decision so far and whether you will be able to make the correct decisions in the future. And I think that's where our anxiety kind of stems from, this fear about, you know, society has all these expectations of me. And yes, I also have these internal desires, but am I going to be able to make the right decisions to get me to be able to meet both? And do I even want to meet the former, right? Do I want societal expectations to govern and dictate the direction that I take? I think we contend with these things the more we get older and the more we understand the realities of the demands on our life. So like you said, bills, relationships, like all of these things seem to become very real. As much as I feel like when we were younger, they seemed very much like an idea. It was a future thing. It was a, you know, a vision. It was a dream. And then you step into it and it's like, it comes with responsibility, right? Dreams come with so much excitement and thrill, but reality and the manifestation of those things come with so much responsibility.
For sure.
And so much demand on you. And I think when you get to, you know, around the 25 mark, when, like you rightfully said, you're in between this, you're in this awkward stage of I'm not young, but I'm not old. You get to this point where you realize this is all a lot.
Yeah.
Like, this is all a lot to live up to and to have to try to do. Am I capable? Am I able? Do I know what I want? And I think things also start to feel very definite, right? Like, the choices that I make now, it's not like when I was a teenager where it's like, okay, you make a mistake, it's fine. People cover up for you. People, you know, you'll find your way back to your path. It's okay. You know, you can experiment. When you get to 25, it can kind of feel like I can't experiment because the window for failure is narrower.
Small.
Petite. You know? And I don't particularly think that is true.
Yeah.
However, I do think it does get narrower, a little bit narrower than when you were a child. I think that when you turn 25, you realize that you're entering into another quarter of your life where you have just as much time as you just had to try and make the most impact in your life, right? And it's not to say that you have to make the most impact in your life between the ages of 25 and 50, but if we're going to be realistic, that is probably when it's going to happen. Do you get what I mean? And the most changes, I feel like, are going to come in this time. Right. Like 0 to 24 is really just about growing, right? The way you're nurtured. And that's why environment is so important and deciding who your friends are and kind of governing your mindsets. Like, you're learning. That's what that time is for. But now it's like you're 25 to 50 is putting what you've learned to practice, right? And then 50 to like 75 is enjoying the fruits of it. Anything past 75 is just a blessing.
Bro, don't kill me. Don't kill me. They said you just hanging on by a thread.
Don't ask me to do anything.
God bless you.
But yeah, now you are aware that, okay, you've been taught about, you know, the different seeds that are in the world, friendships, money, career, all of these things. Now you've actually got to plant them, and you kind of have to ask yourself, am I planting the right seeds in the right place?
Right.
And that becomes hard, and it requires so much, like, I think, internal conversation about, like you said, am I confident in myself? Right? And I think a lot of us don't have that yet, and I think that's what drives us into a point of crisis, because it's like, I actually can't say I bet on myself. I can't say that I trust myself. I can't say that based on my past performance or the fact that I haven't had certain opportunities that I feel like I've got life patterned out. And I think there's so much pressure when you are 25 to have that figured out. What's your life going to look like now? Are you thinking about all these things, you know, for the future? And the future just feels so solid. It's like the person you choose to marry, you're gonna have that person forever. Are you gonna have kids? They're gonna be around forever. Are you gonna buy a house? That's gonna be in your life forever. It's honestly kind of like so many forever decisions. I just want to be a baby girl. But the season to be a baby girl is kind of over. As much as you can say it's a mindset, we get it, it is. But at the same time, you can't deny life comes with responsibilities. You know, you can't be frivolous. You can be, but it has consequences. And you're now dealing with the consequences of your choices.
Sometimes you got to put the baby fat denim jeans
down.
In the bag. Put the juicy couture down.
In the bag. Bring it out at Halloween.
Not Halloween.
Yeah, that's the only place it would really
or
be
when
relevant,
they have, like, you know, the get-togethers, the old school get-togethers.
Oh, fair enough. Like a throwback party.
Yeah, throwback party.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But really and truly, like, 25 reminds you that you need to grow up.
Yeah.
That, and I think that's the be all and end all of it. Like, you actually have to grow up. And as much as you may have struggles, as we all do, right? We all have struggles. You also have to remember that it's your responsibility to get through them. So it becomes about cultivating a level of independence within yourself, which can feel very daunting. And I think independence can feel very scary.
Yeah.
But it is what it's freedom at the end of the day.
It's times like this that you come to understand why Britney shaved her hair, though.
100%.
I think it's funny because when you're growing 100%. Up, oftentimes we look at the restrictions that we have as kids by our caregivers or our parents, and we think, oh, I can't wait to grow up and be able to be my own person and do all the things that I want to. Mm. And then it's only when you actually become an adult, like you said, you realize that there's so many responsibilities and caveats and consequences to your behaviors and actions that you can no longer be as frivolous as you wanted to. And you also don't have as much protection as you did growing up. So you can't, like, you know, defer, what's the word? Accountability when it comes to certain things that happen to you in your life anymore. It's no longer, you know, you're just a kid. It's no longer you're just in school. It's no longer your parents are taking care of you. Yeah. Once you hit, you know, your early 20s, like late 20s, get into your 30s, it's actually on you. And that's a really scary thought. Yeah. It's empowering, but it's also scary knowing that,
of course,
the forever decisions that you make, yeah, you can't blame anybody else if they go wrong. That's on you.
At all. Like, it's all on you. And that's the bit that it can be scary. Like, who's going to help me? You. Who's going to figure this out for me? You. As much as other people can help you, people in your life are resources that you have to put together. Right. Like, you're, this is all just a puzzle that you're trying to solve, right? But it's on you to solve it. And it can be scary, especially when, I guess, you haven't been able to experience the things that are laid up in your future, right? Mm. You're not there yet. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to question now whether you're prepared adequately for it, or at least you're preparing adequately for it. And there's just so many questions that surround career, family, body issues. Like, I think one thing for me, like, post 25 is that my reproductive system has completely changed. And it's like, oh,
hello.
What's going on?
Hello down there.
Right? And now you have to take responsibility over your health, right? Going to see your gynecologist, like, going to get pap smears.
I was literally about to say, ladies, go and get your pap smears. Please, please, because you don't know what could be going on down there.
Yeah.
And there's so many women that have issues with their reproductive system that go undiagnosed because they don't go to a gynecologist, they don't get their smear test.
Yeah.
So please, please, take control of your health, not just health in terms of, like, going to see a doctor, but also your reproductive health, particularly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's about taking responsibility over certain things and laying yourself up, not just for your future, but also for your present comfort. I think that there, whilst we may be going through, you know, a quarter life crisis per se, there is an opportunity to find peace of mind. And I mean, I don't personally think I've gone through a quarter life crisis per se, but I've definitely, similarly to you, like, gone through physical changes, mental changes, which have made me question a lot of my plans, right? And whether I'm productively working towards them. But it's also given me an opportunity to assess, is this actually what I want? And I think that that's very freeing, to get to a point where you're like, actually, I'm getting to a defining point of becoming my own person. No longer do I need to live under the expectations of everybody else at this point, because I am responsible for my own life and I am responsible for my own decisions. I need to decide what I actually want, because I know that that's the thing that's most deserving of my energy and of my attention. And I think that that's an amazing place to be when you're 25. It gives you a junction to really assess your energy distribution and what is worthy of your time and your effort. And I think that also leads into another part of the conversation I wanted to talk about, because I think when people talk about second puberty, they're often talking about physical changes, weight gain, weight loss, reproductive health, adult acne, which a lot of people go through, which then incites a new amount of insecurity about yourself, metabolic changes in your body, and all of these things, gut health, which is a current trend on TikTok, right? Which has me questioning everything. Like, gut health, mental health, going to therapy. There feels like there are all these changes happening around your mental and physical well-being, right? And that's essentially what second puberty is. It's just like, it's not really a scientific thing. It's not like anything's happening in your hormones. Like, you're not, you know, becoming an adult. You're already an adult, but it's now the realization that your body is adjusting to that adulthood, right? And it's going to let you know, like you said, like, there are certain clicks I'd be hearing in my body that I'm like, I'm far too young.
Do you know what I mean?
For my knees to sound like that. I don't.
What?
No.
Am I finna sit down and hear?
I unsubscribe. No, I don't want it. Get the collagen out.
ASAP.
Exactly. Be making sure you're taking your vitamins and your supplements and you're having a good diet, okay? Yep. that's what will help you a lot. But also, the reason why I mentioned all of that is I think second puberty and conversations about quarter life crisis can often surround the physical and the mental. And I think that's important, you know, all about learning and growing over here. However, as people who are also invested in building healthy and authentic relationships, I think when you get to 25, another part of the quarter life crisis is who is for me? Who do I need to leave behind?
Right.
What's going on with my relationships, not just romantically, but also my friendships? And that's what I wanted to talk about, because in the sisterhood, you know, we talk about it. When you get to 25, do you feel like you get to a point where you also kind of look around and you think, who are my friends? And not just who are my friends as in I don't have any, but who are my friends as in who do I want close, right? And who have I built intimate relationship with? I think growing up, you kind of... Sorry, I just asked you a question. I didn't let you answer that. Oh, child, go on.
That's okay, girl. You know, when you're in the thick of conversation, you know, things are flowing, juicing, whatnot. the first thing that I'll say is I actually read a book recently called The Defining Decade. I would recommend that you guys pick that up, especially if you're going for a quarter life crisis or you just want to figure out the best way to utilize and leverage the most of your 20s as well as your 30s. There's some really good like nuggets in there for like early 30s and late 30s too. So I'd definitely recommend picking it up. So the funny thing about that is I feel like there's a divergence even in that, right? Some people can get to the mid to late 20s and be like, I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to decide to allow things to just fall into place. Whoever's for me is for me, and whoever's against me is against me, and all that kind of stuff. They're not necessarily directive, but they don't realize that that's a choice in of itself, that you deciding to lack accountability and allow like the universe to dictate, you know, your relationships is a choice in of itself. Then you get the folks who I'm hoping are within this sisterhood that are more directive. They're more inclined to be very intentional about their relationships. They've gone to a point where they've had enough life experience to know or have an inclination of the kind of relationships that they want to carry forward. And they're starting to actually go through the process knowingly or unknowingly of evaluating the relationships they currently have. So it's not a surprise. Many people get to like their mid 20s and be like, why is my friend acting up? Could it be that they were always acting up and you chose not to see it? You get to a point and you're kind of like, I don't really enjoy this person's presence as much as I did. Could it be that, you know, you're starting to desire something else, or you've been suppressing a desire for companionship in order to allow this relationship to flourish? So I think we get to a place where you have to, A, choose to want to be intentional about your relationships. And then when you have chosen to be intentional, you have to make sure that you're reading the signs, and you have to make sure that you start to be a bit more intentional about laying out what you want in your relationships. I think sometimes we can overwhelmingly focus on romantic relationships. So it's common to be like, you know, I'm getting to my mid to late 20s. I want to get married. I want to, you know, have kids and have a family, which is all well and good. And something you actually should be thinking about, you know, again, bringing up reproductive health and thinking about if you do want to have children or if you do want to have a companion, now's a great time to be thinking about it. But equally, don't allow that to completely overshadow all of the other relationships that you have. Your professional relationships, if you're stuck in a job that you know has absolutely no relevance to what you want to do in the next 5 to 10 years, you have got to move. If you are stuck in friendships, or you feel like your friendships are not, you know, fruitful, or they're not particularly helpful towards your development either way, then now's the time to change. Buy the Two My Sisters book when it drops, because that will be very directive and helpful. Plug for that. But yeah, now is the time. If you are starting to feel uncomfortable in your relationships, that is a indicator of the fact that you need to move. You need to act. You need to be more intentional. And you have to incorporate it. I love the fact that you brought up relationships as part of like the quarter life crisis, because there's just so much emphasis on, my body is changing and, you know, my money and adulting and stuff. Relationships, like, I was reading an article earlier that was talking about the biggest regrets that people have. I think I've mentioned it before, when they get to like their 70s, 80s and 90s. And one of the biggest like themes around regret is relationships. And if they could go back in time, they would have been a lot more bolder. They would have been clearer. They would have communicated better. They would have gone for the relationships that scared them, because at least they took the shot. Now is the time. Forget just like shooting your shot in your career and shooting your shot in like other areas. In your relationships, now is the time to shoot your shot. Shoot your shot. This may be one of the, not the last times, but one of the last times in this particular season in your life that you can make the most of being intentional and building relationships that will allow you to flourish well into your 30s, yeah, well into your 40s, well into your 50s. And then also thinking about things like loneliness and thinking about avenues and opportunities to make friends. As you get older, it becomes more difficult to make friends. It becomes really, really difficult. Now is the time, if you're not happy in your friendships, to either put the work in or make new ones.
Yes.
Now is the time, because when you get older, you're going to have way more responsibilities. As you have seen, as you have approached this time, it's already difficult maintaining relationships. You have to think about people's calendars, and, you know, some of your friends have kids now and some of your friends don't, but you're working, or you have other responsibilities and other things to think about. That's only going to increase as you get older. So now is the time to really be thinking, what are the relationships that I want to invest in? Not just for this time, but actually as lifelong friends, lifelong partners, lifelong relationships. I think this point is like pivotal and the beginning.
Yeah,
I have spoken quite a bit.
No, that was, those were all gems. That was excellent. That was on point. No, it was really deep. And I think it's, I think we're all trying to get it together. Like, we're all working towards trying to be better, and that's okay. But I think in that journey that we make towards self-betterment, we all come to crossroads where we choose to change.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the things that cause us to feel like our relationships become turbulent at 25. Think about how much growth and change in mindsets, in desires you have had in the last 25, 10, 15 years, whatever. Since being a teenager, you've probably gone through a range of, I want to be this, I want to be that, I don't like this. So actually now I like it. You know, I like this person, I don't like this person. I am this, this is my personality. No, this is my personality. You've gone through so much self-discovery and so much transformation that by the time you get to 25, you've probably been 17 different people, right? In the way that you are, there are core things to your essence. There are core things to your who you are that probably have stayed the same and consistent. But there have also been, I guess, things that are more accessory,
right,
that have changed about you, right? You may have been exposed to a wealth of information, a wealth of resources and content, which have completely shifted your priorities. Or like with the kids example, you have gone through life experiences which have changed you as a person. Not just the time that you're able to commit to things, but also the way you think and view the world. Right. And we are all going through that process of evolution. When you get to a place where you have evolved and the people around you have evolved, there now needs to be a questioning as to whether you are still compatible. And that's why a lot of us get this kind of crisis of, I might need to change my circle because I've evolved and they've evolved and who we are now is no longer compatible.
Right.
And I think we need to embrace the fact that with changing ages and changing seasons needs to be sometimes a change of environment and a change of companions. And it can be hard to let that go, but it is very much so necessary. And it doesn't necessarily just mean letting go of the people who you've had in your life all the time. But I think it's the nature of your relationships changing, the natures of your conversations changing, and also welcoming new people in your life who can aid in more evolution on your part, right? Or who can aid in being a support system as you journey towards this newfound goal or vision for your life for the next 25 or 50 years or whatever that may be. Embracing the fact that new people are going to come along and you need to let them in, right? You need to let people into your life who can help you with the future. And not just help you, but also who you just click with at this point. When you realize that, okay, you're no longer your childhood friends, it's no longer really working, right? It can be very easy to stay in these things because of obligation, right? Because of time. I think we need to be as future focused and future oriented in our picking of the people who we allow to take part in our lives as we are time sensitive, or like we are basing it on history. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, our history means a lot, but that's also our past.
Yeah.
Our future means a lot. Based on those two things, who am I journeying with for the rest of this time? And who am I actually, who have I built intimacy enough with to want to embark on the future with them, right? So even if you feel like your goals or your mindsets no longer are aligned, you may have found such support in this person to the point where you support each other no matter what, right? It may cause there to be varying distance between you now, but that's okay. And I think at 25, we get to that point, or mid, you know, mid 20s, you get to that point where you're like, oh, I'm not as close to this person as I used to be. I'm not as, or I'm now closer with a different person than I used to be. I think the demands of life draw us closer or further away to the people that we need and the people who are beneficial to us. But I think the thing with quarter life crises is that it's only a problem when you problematize it.
Yeah.
Some things are just natural. Some things are just normal. Like, you may feel so panicky at the fact, and I use this as a point of encouragement, because you may feel so panicky at the fact, I'm losing friends. I like my money, my career, I don't know where I'm at. There's just so much confusion, so much unknown, and feelings of so much loss or so much dread. Am I normal? Am I okay? Like, what's going on? But the truth of the matter is, you are normal. This is very common, right? And losing friends can be a common occurrence. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean like all your friends X you out and you X all your friends out and you're burning bridges left, right and center.
Yeah.
That's reckless, and we never condone that kind of behavior. However, it may look like you questioning or just noticing distance and proximity, and reevaluating your boundaries as well. Like, for a lot of us, we may not have made friends with intentionality up until this point. It may have just been because of, like we've always mentioned in the past, convenience, and also just the common life stages. Like, we're both in university, we're both taking this course, we're both at school, we're both in the same class. That's what made us friends. But now we're getting to a point where, do I actually intentionally still want to be your friends? And also, if I want to make friends, if I want to make friends, it's not going to be done based on just common proximity anymore. If I'm actually going to find my people and my tribe and the people who are going to help me into my destiny, it's going to require intentionally looking out for them. And it may be in the spaces that I am not yet in. And so taking that step out of the boat to be like, you know, am I going to start going to networking events more? Am I going to start going to events more generally? Am I going to be more open to speaking to people, kind of come out of my shell a little bit? Or am I going to find people who have common interests with me? Well, where can I find those people? It's about having conversations that at least puts you out there to embrace the new, but also having conversations with the people who have been in your life up until this point about the changes that are happening in you and how they can assist in that. But also just making them acquainted with the new you. I think a lot of us get to a stage where we're like, I've evolved, I've changed, but you're the old you around your old friends. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's good to just have a level of consistency around, well, actually, this is the person that I am now. These are the things that I have found, whether it be like faith or new philosophies, or new boundaries, right? New things that you do and do not do. You've got new rules, basically. You turn 25 and now you've got new rules. If that is the case, welcome other people to be a part of that, right? Don't feel as though you can't show your new self and the person who you want to be to the people who have known the old versions of you. We always emphasize here that you need people who will allow you to evolve around you. So yeah, 25, you're evolving. Find people around you who will also allow you to evolve. And that could be the old people, it could be the new people, but whoever it is, just make sure that they can handle your evolution, because that should always be your number one priority in building relationships.
Sure.
What are some of the practical tips you could give to someone who feels like they are experiencing a quarter life crisis? If there were like top two tips you could give to someone who feels like, my life is falling apart, I'm scared, what would you say? Ooh. Lend us your wisdom.
Oh gosh, there's so much to say.
Well, more of your wisdom.
So much to say. This is less so a tip and more so a preface to all of this. And the first is to allow your perspective to change. So I think sometimes when we are faced with crisis, there is a tendency to like dramatize and like make sure, it feels like everything is crashing in on you. And it's not easy to say change your perspective, but try to find opportunities for you to like see the good in things as opposed to the negative. And I promise you that will carry you in terms of like tips and in terms of like just becoming more confident and feeling more settled and peaceful in these changes. Definitely try and see the positive and stuff and try to be a bit more optimistic about some of the changes that are occurring, and definitely try and get grounded in something that's bigger than yourself. Word to like the fact that we are women of faith. I think one of the real important like pivots in and grounding forces in my life is knowing that, you know, I am looking to somebody and something that is not changing. So even in amidst all of the chaos and the changes and everything else, knowing that at least I've got God up there and there's a plan for my life with all of these changes. So that's more big picture stuff. In terms of like small picture, practical things that you can do on a day-to-day basis, one thing that I like to do is I like to split up. It's kind of like what I do at the beginning of the year, but I like to do it on a quarterly basis. And that's like actually review the changes that I've been experiencing. People like to do it through journaling and stuff like that, but I do it in a more structured way. Insofar as like every quarter or so, or like every like month or 2 months, I will actually have some time away by myself where I might, you know, go and spend the day at like a cafe, for example, some kind of like different environment that's more neutral and outside of like my personal environment. And then I will actually split up my life into various different themes and spheres, and I will log the changes that I felt or I have experienced over the course of like the past few like months or so. So for example, physical changes, what have you noticed that has changed with you physically? How have you been feeling? How have you been faring? What are the day, like what are the patterns that you're noticing? So for example, could it be that you are waking up later in the day? How are your energy levels in general? Are you like generally low in energy? What are the changes that you have marked over a period of time that are alarming you? Because sometimes when we don't track the changes, kind of like, oh, my life is changing, what's going on? This gives you the opportunity to not only see trends, but also reverse engineer and see if there's any like potential triggers that can be managed or can be changed. So I think physical obviously is one of the easiest ones to see those kind of changes. So whether it be that you're finding that, you know, your periods are a little bit more painful now that you've gotten older, that might mean that you need to actually schedule a check-in at some point. But being able to actually sit with yourself on a quarterly basis and say, these are the changes that I have logged in my emotional, mental, and physical and material well-being, then I can say these are the actions that I want to take to either change or embrace. It could be that there are some positive changes. I think sometimes with quarter life crisis, again, we can dramatize and make it a really negative experience when really it could be an opportunity for you to identify what are the good things that are happening? What are the good changes that are happening? Even when it comes to like physical changes, for example, like, oh, okay, I'm filling out a little bit, you know, I'm looking a little thickums in some places. That could be a positive change. Another positive change that could come is you feel more assertive and happy in the choices that you're making on a day-to-day basis, the way that you engage with people. So take some actual time out to regularly review the changes as they come up in your life, identify the trends, and then ascribe some kind of action at the end of that session to help you feel like you're more in control and more empowered by the fact that these changes are happening and you can actually respond to them.
So
that's my first tip.
Yeah.
The next tip that I would encourage one to do, man, I'm in between like three, but I gotta pick like one. In the spirit of community, talk to other people. And like not, you know, like sometimes you'll have conversations with people that are like catch up and people will be telling you all about their life and like, you know, I'm doing this, I've achieved this, I've achieved this. Grab a close friend and make sure you guys are doing debriefs with each other. Because I think sometimes when you feel as though things are falling apart and life is falling apart, it feels like you're one man on one ship when really you're one man, you're multiple people on a ship, you're just in different rooms. Get out of your room and band together and try and see, is this something that's common to other people? Is this something that's common to just me? Where are the places that you can support somebody and where are the places that they can support you? So like if you are having like troubles with, you know, feeling control over your finances, maybe it's time that you grab the sister on your left that's actually really good at handling her finances and who has cracked this thing to give you some tips and tricks. And then you can also exchange your knowledge on an area that she might have a deficit at. It might be that you're really, really good at making really good friendships. Like you've got solid, solid friends. And the sister over here who's really great at finances is really struggling to have like solid friendships. So exchange knowledge with other women in particular. It will really, really help. There's so much like information already and content around women's coming of age. And I feel like more women are starting to embrace sharing, you know, demystifying motherhood or demystifying careers or demystifying entrepreneurship, or this is what I experienced during second puberty. Knowledge will be your superpower, but you can supercharge your superpower by investing in community powered knowledge. Good. Community knowledge, because even with like, when I think of like scientifically, second puberty is not necessarily a thing, mm-hmm. but sometimes community like knowledge and sometimes like the experiences that women have are not necessarily captured in scientific literature or not necessarily captured in traditional spaces that knowledge is produced. So it's really important to have these kind of communities, these kind of spaces where women can share the knowledge of their lived experience and the knowledge of the things that they've actually gone through to help you with your own journey. So I think those are the two.
That's excellent. I think on the back of the second one, surrounding yourself with people who have experienced this stage and have also moved past it.
For sure.
So I think you can become, if you have got a lot of people around you who are your peers, peers in age, peers in stage of life,
that's good.
It can feel very daunting because you both feel like the ship, the metaphorical ship, is shaking and you're both in it together, right? Mm. But I think there is something special about people who have already reached the shore and who can guarantee you that though the ship is shaking, it won't sink. And so having people's wisdom, their experiences, their past, their knowledge of their past, to be able to kind of inform you of the fact that this is how you navigate kind of rocky terrain, whether it just be internally, you're having this, you know, instability, it's okay to ask people who have already moved through it, how did you get through it, and ask them to kind of help you navigate. I think that's the beauty of having sisters around you who are different ages and who are at different stages of life that have produced different levels of responsibility and skill within them. So don't be shy. Don't be shy to ask, you know, somebody, can I take you out to coffee? Can I ask you about X, Y, Z? I've seen that you've already done this. How did you figure out what you wanted to be when you grew up? How did you, you know, go about pursuing your careers? And really cherish the fact that you get to hear those stories and that those stories can give you insight and wisdom that you can apply to your own life right now. You don't actually have to do this alone. And as much as, like you said, we're all asking ourselves the same question. And so take comfort in the fact that, yeah, you don't know, but a bunch of other people also don't know and feel just as insecure, just as, feel as though they are lacking just as much confidence. However, there are people who have asked themselves those questions and have found the answers, or may have realized that there are no answers to those questions. So just stop asking yourself. Yeah. I think that that can bring you a whole bunch of peace of mind. So surround yourself with a range of experiences, a range of life stages, and it will help you get through this. There is life beyond the quarter life crisis.
There really
okay?
is, you know. They really be chilling as well, living their best
exactly, life. They really do. And I think you can take a lot of inspiration from that. Like, find somebody who really does inspire you and ask them to guide you as a mentor or as just a friend. It's beneficial. It really is beneficial. And I think the second thing is, as much as it may feel like everything in your life is out of control right now, take control of it. And the way you do that is by, like you said with your first point, make an actual action plan that you are going to follow and dedicate yourself to following it. I think a lot of us can become so attached to the turbulence and we stay in the season for way too long. Like, you leave yourself, I don't know, I don't know for too long. Actually contend with the questions. And this isn't to put pressure on you to have it all figured out at some point. At one point, right? By 25, you should have it all figured out. No, right. But at some point, you should have some things figured out, right? What are you actually doing? And as much as you may not know what the road looks like and the exact path you're going to take to reach your final destination and for the rest of your life, you should know what your next step is. You know, at the very least, know what your next step is. And this is it's way easier said than done. But if you're really committed to glowing and growing, at some point you have to tell yourself, you have to figure this out, right? And whether that's locking yourself in your room or going to a cafe or sitting down with people and being like, help me figure this out, at least be searching for the answers. I think that's the place where you start to build your confidence, knowing that I actually have the capacity and I have the methods to be able to solve the questions that I actually have. I am not stumped. Because think about taking any test, right? If you have a question put in front of you that you really don't know, what's the immediate feeling failure and hopelessness, right? Mm. However, if you have taken time to be diligent in your study and your revision to know how to approach it, even if you get a question that you have never seen before because the numbers are different, the letters are different, the equations are different, whatever it is, you at least you know the method, yeah, right? And so cultivating that confidence of saying, I may not have been faced with this specific issue, because quarter life crisis is just the first of many problems we're going to experience as women as we develop, right? Whilst I may not have been presented with this specific challenge before, I have been challenged in the past. And these are the things that it cultivated from me. But also, this is the wealth of knowledge that I have in my memory bank from the things that I've read and the things that I've consumed and the people that I know to help me fight this properly. This is a great time to cultivate the tools you need to fight any battle that you come against. And yes, there are going to be things that feel new. There are going to be things that feel as though they are going to overwhelm you. But at least then you can depend on your track record of the fact that I have been challenged before and I was not taken under. I may have been overwhelmed, but I was not defeated. And so cultivate a level of confidence in you that says, I might not have it all figured out right now, but at some point I will. And at some point I'm going to ace it. I'm going to win, right? Be encouraged by that fact, because it's easy to feel discouraged by the fact that you have questions. Having questions is not wrong. Doubting yourself is not wrong. The question is whether you allow yourself to stay in that mindset of doubt, right? And constant insecurity and battling with yourself as to whether you are good enough, as to whether you know enough. If you feel like you don't know enough, get to know more. If you feel like you're not good enough, really inspect where that is coming from, right? And the doubts that have crept into your heart and the fears that have crept into your heart. And I think the reason why I really wanted to talk about this topic today is that because a lot of us enter quarter life crises because we are scared. You're scared that the future may not be as good as you really want it to be. This is your reminder that the future is what you'll make it. And you are going to be faced with very like unexpected things, right? Things that you would never have put on your vision board. Scares, scans that might not give you the right results, doctor's appointments that end up you're being told bad things, breakups, makeups, trauma, loss, gain, all of these things. It's going to be a turbulent ride, but hang on, all right? Hang on to the ride. You're not going to fall over unless you choose to give way.
For sure.
All right? So it's okay. It's okay to not have it figured out. It's okay to feel like, man, why am I constantly feeling insecure about these things? Cultivate some confidence within yourself by getting equipped by your knowledge, your circle. Your circle really matters when you're at these sensitive points, because it is sensitive. You feel very susceptible to anything, right? Anything could knock your confidence, because your confidence is already very fragile in that moment. So surround yourself with good people who can help you navigate it. But yes, I have also nattered on. It's time for this episode to come to an end. We hope that this has been some kind of encouragement and comfort for you. If you are navigating this yourself, to all our sisters listening to us in the future, maybe we'll make an episode when we're like 30 and we figured it out.
That would be okay? So funny.
Yeah. So definitely check the more recent episodes, talking to the TMS listeners of 2027. However,
Do you know in like YouTube when you come back to an old and you're like, hey, listening to this in 2027.
Yeah. Shout out to y'all. But so the sisters listening to us now, rocking with us right now, we hope that this was encouraging. We hope that it was comforting. And we hope it gave you food for thought as you go into your week. Okay. But if you want to continue in the conversation, make sure that you follow us across all socials. The socials are popping off.
Popping.
The girls are loving the content. Why are you not? Why are you not there?
And why are you like gatekeeping?
It's a bigger question. So if you want to follow us, it's at To My Sisterhood. Okay, you can follow our individual pages as well. I am at CD Boatin. She is Renee Kapuku. Follow us both, but please share the profiles, share the handles, share the podcast,
share the love,
share the video, share. All right,
save it, download it.
Sisterhood is all about sharing. Okay, so as much as you are listening to us, invite another sister to listen to us. Okay, it could be your mom, it could be your sister, it could be your auntie, it could be a cat. We do not discriminate.
Yeah, we don't discriminate. All right, bring all the women,
and you can also bring the men. because some of them need to be hearing it. Okay.
Yeah, there was actually one guy that commented and was like, oh, I feel like I'm like eavesdropping when I listen to the TMS podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys talk about community of sisters. Can I listen? All that jazz.
Of course you can listen. The internet is free to anybody.
I mean,
listen.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. This content is as much for you as it is for anybody else.
And of course, you can sign up to the mailing list. It will be in the show notes and it will also be in the description. So don't miss out. We're sending weekly drops and a little bit of sunshine into your week on a weekly basis. We sent a really timely message around just recollecting yourself and regathering yourself for the next 6 months of this year, because it's going to be a great year for you, sis. If you're listening to this, this was the sign that you needed that. You don't need to be in crisis, and you don't need to be in crisis alone. As much as you are grabbing onto the ship, make sure to grab onto the hand of another sister too. So sisters, we hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, keep glowing, stay growing.
Oh wow,
you know, Lori mix, you know what I'm saying? That was that. Keep glowing and growing.
There we go.
Damn,
keep that ringing in your ears.
Damn. I want a little bit of a remix.
It's a part of the brand. It's a part of the brand.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.